Some of the first Central American migrants to make it to the U.S. border were a breakaway group of about 80 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals, many of them fleeing violence and discrimination in their home countries because of their sexuality. Eric Duran of Honduras and Pedro Pastor of Guatemala made a public display of their love over the weekend by tying the knot amid cheers from other migrants.
And really, this is a dream come true because in our countries you don't see this, and we have always wanted it. And today that we have this opportunity, very happy. Really, very happy.
So what's leading so many members of the LGBTQ community in Central America to flee? Diego Molina is a transgender man and a volunteer for Dique LGBTI in El Salvador. And he told me the daily risks of life are high.
I've experienced living in the U.S. and in Europe and here in El Salvador, and I can tell you there's no comparison. It's very hard to be out. Usually you cannot get a job. You're shunned from your family. It's really hard to access resources. The security angle is also very delicate because for those whose gender presentation does not fall within conventional standards, it's a bit more difficult, a lot more difficult. Gang members have actually vowed to exterminate the trans population, and unfortunately, these individuals are easily identified. I can give you an example. There is a trans guy. He was 19 years old. He was part of our organization, and he was unfortunately murdered by gang members a couple of months ago. His family have now, they've become targets of the same gang, and they were forced out of their residence because they were being threatened, and they were about to join one of these caravans. Thankfully, we managed to bring them some help. One of our other LGBTQ organizations here was able to relocate them and provide financial assistance, legal assistance, and they did not have to join the caravan, thankfully, but they were actually on their way out the door when we managed to bring them some aid.
So were you concerned about them participating in a migration north because they are more susceptible to harassment or violence in that journey?
It is a difficult journey. Typically, the issues that they face between here and the United States, they face kidnapping, rape, extortion, theft, trafficking. And even if they manage to make it, you know, there is no guarantee that they will receive a legal status once they arrive and that they will not be sent back.
And so tell us what type of work you do with that community in El Salvador.
Sure. So Dique has a few functions here in El Salvador. The organization does civil rights advocacy. We also try to advocate for protection of civil rights advocates themselves, as they themselves have become targets of violence. We also have put a strong emphasis on education of law enforcement and government organizations on how to deal with LGBTQ people. And we also do some work with disability and research.
What is the stance of the El Salvadorian government?
There is a politic of silence when it comes to the LGBTQ community here from the government. It's a very touchy issue. They try not to address it. We don't have explicit rights. You can be fired for being gay or for being transgender. You can be denied housing. I've personally had issues with healthcare, showing up to a hospital and trying to get care for a bronchitis attack I had a couple of years ago. And I was not able to receive care from a doctor just because of the way that I looked. The Supreme Court did order the government to acknowledge the problem of forced migration in general, not just for LGBTQ people. In June, July, they actually ordered the government to introduce legislation that would address individual cases of gang violence that would require relocation. And the idea is that this new legislation would provide for legal and financial assistance to these victims so that they, you know, are not forced to leave their home country.
And if that legislation does not pass, are you concerned about the safety of LGBTQ El Salvadorians and even broader, beyond the country.
Yes, we are. We have presidential elections coming next year. And as you know, you've experienced in the U.S. yourself, sometimes that can polarize things even more and people become targets due to political rhetoric. And so we do expect the issues to get a little bit tougher for the LGBTQ community with the new election cycle coming up. And, you know, it's a really easy talking point for some politicians to make, you know, to have a strong stance against what they consider to be evil. And this just, you know, stems from our religious culture here, our extreme religious culture here in El Salvador. We are deemed evil. You know, we are not going to go to heaven. We're going to hell. We are ruining families. And so that kind of rhetoric does incite new violence. So we're hoping that the administration will propose legislation that will encompass the community and the issues that we face, the violence issues that we face.
Diego Molina is a volunteer at DIQUE LGBTI in El Salvador. Diego, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been featuring different LGBTQ stories from across the globe for the past week. You can listen back to all of our coverage at thetakeaway.org/LGBTQ rights.